Welcome to NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here, Mike Muriel there. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, Adam. Hope you and the family are doing well. We are, not even a month away from the draft. We're gearing up for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. And we have a great guest today, Adam. Great guest.
JF Amfus from NHL Central Scouting is going to join us to talk about the top prospects in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. It kind of goes in line with what we've been doing here. If you want to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes, we had John Williams to talk about the best in the Western Hockey League. We had Joey Tenute on the last show talk about best from the Ontario League. Goran Stube was on to talk about the best prospects in Europe. We've talked to a whole bunch of these top kids, you know, from Owen Power to Matthew Coronado from the Chicago Steel to, you know, a whole host of guys. So, you know, as you get ready for the draft, we are getting close. This is the best way to learn about who your team might take is listen to some of the old episodes of NHL Draft Class.
Yep. We also had Dan Moore on, and that was a great discussion right after the NHL Draft Lottery was held and the NHL Central Scouting released their final ranking. So that was a real interesting discussion as far as why Central chose certain players over the other in that top 10, top 15 range, right, Adam? That's the range where everyone's kind of questioning who's going to go where after we all expect Owen Power to go number one in the draft of the Buffalo Sabres. But again, looking at today's show, I'm really excited for getting JF on. Obviously, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League was the only league to have a tournament championship, and that's what makes talking to JF about the Q a unique situation, since all these players did kind of go through that experience of going through a championship. Victoriaville defeated Val-d'Or in six games to win the President's Trophy. And, you know, Victoriaville defeated Charlottetown in a dramatic five-game series, 3-2 in the semis. So there were 44 Q players among NHL Central Scouting's final rankings of North American skaters, and five were ranked as potential first-round picks. We had Zachary Bolduc, Xavier Borgo, Zach Dean, Zachary LaRue, and Evan Noss, a defenseman there. So it's going to be interesting to see what JF has to say, because there are some really good players here in this league.
Well, let's bring in JF right now. JF Amfus from NHL Central Scouting. Thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
So JF, you know, right-handed center, Xavier Borgo, he's number 13 in Central's North American list, the highest rated player from the Q on Central's list. He had a phenomenal sophomore campaign with Shawinigan in 1920. He improved on it this season, finishing top 15 in the league scoring. I have two questions regarding Borgo right now, though. How high is his ceiling? And does he need to play with a certain style of player in order to be effective?
I think the ceiling is quite high, to be honest. The skill level is impressive. Like you said, he's been a really consistent performer the last 2 years. He's a late 02, so as an underage player, his numbers were great, 33 goals in 63 games, and followed up this year with 20 and 29. So he's got that scoring ability. Does he need to play with certain players? You know, obviously good players play better with good players around them. He proved it playing with Maverick Bourque. He did capitalize on playing with him. But we have to give him credit for that. And I think his ceiling is quite high when you look at the overall game that he brings.
JF, Zachary Bolduc from Rimouski is number 17 on the final rankings. He scored 29 points in 27 games. He missed some time with an injury, and I wonder if he had been healthy with the way he produced, if he'd even be a little bit higher up, and maybe NHL teams might have gotten to know him a little bit better. The shot stands out from, you know, at least the little bit of video I've been able to see of him, and he's not afraid to shoot it from pretty much anywhere in the zone. When you watch him, what else stands out about his game?
I think he brings the whole package, personally. Yes, he does have a great shot, and he's got that scoring ability. He does have the playmaking as well. I like this compete level. I like the way he plays. He can play the physical game as well. He's good down low. He's tough to handle. Really good at protecting the puck under pressure. Certainly elements that would translate well to the pro game. He's a pro skater. His skating stride is excellent. He's got a real good mechanic. There's lots of pro elements in his game. Obviously, the couple injuries this year may have hurt him a little bit, but when you look at what he did as an underage, performing the way he did, you know, he's up there, I'm sure, in the rankings of all the teams. You know, he could be flip-flop with Bourgault. He could be, you know, certain teams may have him a little higher. But I think he fits well where we have him at Central Scouting.
Yeah, Bolduc, I believe he was Rookie of the Year in the queue this year. So credit to him and what he was able to accomplish. And I tend to agree with you, Jeff. I've seen several different lists, mock drafts, where Bolduc is ahead of Bourgault and vice versa. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that unfolds at the draft. But in a draft where it appears, you know, defensemen are dominating the top half of this thing, Evan Nos of Quebec looks to be the top blue liner from the queue. What do you like about Evan? He's number 22 on Central's list. And do you consider him to be a two-way defenseman or more of a shutdown guy?
I think he's a two-way guy. I think he has more offense than what people give him credit for. Played the power play all year for Quebec this year, 22 points in 32 games. First year in the league, I know he played some USHL the year before, but still had to adjust to the Quebec League. Adjusted really well, improved every game that I saw him. He's a great skater. He's a really mobile skater, smooth stride, 6'2", covers a lot of ice, 5-on-5, plays PK as well. So he's the type of D that would, you know, translate well to the pro game. He's got size and he skates well. And I thought he improved a lot this year as far as decision-making with the puck. Early on, I thought he was maybe struggling a bit at finding his options. But later in the season, you could see that he really improved that aspect of his game. I think he's a solid two-way player for the next level.
Zach Dean from Gatineau, he's number 21 in the final rankings. He looks like a real – his top end is a playmaking center in the NHL. 10 goals and 20 points in 23 games. The speed and the elusiveness he has with the puck looks impressive. Is that what sort of stood out to you about him? And what else did you like about Zach's game this season?
Zach is a great player. He's got pretty much the whole package. He skates really well. He's explosive. He's got that acceleration through the neutral zone where he can beat defensemen wide. He's got a great release. He can make plays in tight. I think he's the type of kid that, you know, the COVID situation didn't help him as far as finding the momentum of creating points, creating offense. But every game that I saw, and even the crossover guys, every game that he played, it seems like he had a major impact in the game. And you just feel that some nights he deserved to have 4 or 5 points and got out of there with no points. So it was that type of year for him where I think his numbers are not that impressive, but he played a lot better than the numbers are showing. He's got a great two-way game. He can kill penalties, play the power play. It was one of those year for him where maybe his points weren't as impressive as maybe his underage season.
JF, I'm intrigued by Zachary Leroux. He's number 30 on Central's list of Halifax. I've seen him go as high as 23 in some mock drafts and as low as maybe the mid to late second round. He seems, from what we've seen and what he has said, he likes to model his game after Matthew Tkachuk. So, you know, he plays with that intensity, but he also has great hands and a scoring touch. He finished eighth in the queue with 19 goals this season. What is his upside and what type of player do you think he might turn into once he reaches the NHL?
Yeah, I think he's got great upside for the NHL. He's a character kid. He plays with passion. Plays hard, even, you know, as an underage kid with Moncton, played a physical game, crashed the net, really tough to handle, down low again, along the boards. He's a net front guy, loves to go to the blue paint and find those rebounds opportunities. But he does play with passion. I think he needs to learn how to manage those emotions sometimes. Got suspended 12 games this year, the different occasions, but those things happen. You know, he's still young and he's going to learn from those experience. But like you said, the hands, the IQ, can play a two-way game, can play as much on the PK as he does on the power play. And I think he's got really a good upside for the NHL.
Jeff, I'm always interested in second generation players, guys whose dads played in the league, because of just, you know, I always think there's that innate hockey sense that they have that they may not even realize they have. And Valdor forward Justin Robida is the son of longtime NHL defenseman Stefan Robida. Justin had 36 points in 35 games this season. He's number 47 on the final rankings. you know, at 5'8", he doesn't have the kind of size at this point that Dad did. But what's the upside for Justin, and what would he bring to the NHL team that selects him?
I think he brings a two-way game, versatile, the type of player that can bring as much on the defensive side of the puck as he does on the offensive side of things. So the size isn't there, but he competes hard, he plays hard, not afraid to make contact, to go to the net. So I don't think the size is a big factor to me. We're looking at the playoffs right now. Smaller players are making a difference. They have an impact in a game, and I think Justin is that good. I think he can play the next level and bring the same type of game that he brings in the queue right now, which is generating offense with great IQ, vision, great hands, playmaking. But he's got that finishing touch also around the net, so he's got that complete game. And probably, you know, being around the game so much with his dad, he's got a mature game. He knows how to play the game on both sides of the puck and you know, really responsible centerman. He played on a deep team this year with Valdor, lots of veteran players, and he had a key role on that team. So, yeah, he's a great player.
Cameron, why not? 6'1", 180 pounds, left-handed defenseman, good upside. He scored 23 points in 34 games the second season with Halifax this year. JF chipped in on the power play with 11 points. So my question is, why not Cameron in the late second, early third round? What do you like about his game and potential?
Yeah, I like this kid. I like the fluidity in his skating. He's really smooth. When you look at him on the ice, you have to notice him right away because the skating is so good. I like how he transitions the puck from defense to offense. I like his escape game under pressure. He finds ways. He finds openings. He's good at carrying the puck as well. And I really liked how he managed to play the power play this year. Although, you know, he played with Barron 5-on-5. Some nights he did play with him on the power play. Some nights he was on the second unit. But I like how he sees the ice on the power play, finding passing lanes, finding shooting lanes. I think he's the type of kid that's got a high ceiling. He's going to get better in the next couple of years playing in the queue for Halifax, which I think will have a good team the next couple of years. So I think he's an intriguing guy, but just to, you know, when you look at his skating, he's elite that way, and I think he'll be recognized in the draft.
JF Damfoo from NHL Central Scouting, thank you so very much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class and sharing your wisdom on some of these top Q prospects.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to JF Damfoo from NHL Central Scouting for coming on today and talking about the top prospects from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And Mike, there are going to be some good players coming out of there. Zachary Leroux, you know, listening to him talk about Zachary, there's an intriguing pick. You know, I like the Matthew Tkachuk comparison that you made.
Yeah, you know, you hear a lot about the comparisons with Tkachuk and you know, that hard-nosed type player, and look at him, and we've seen this, you know, in different mock drafts that we've looked at, it looks like Leroux is like all over the map as far as first round consideration somewhere. So it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in this draft. And you heard JF, you know, the kid was suspended four different times this season for a total of 13 games, but obviously JF does like him enough to have him in that range and to, you know, speak to Dan and the rest of the scouts there to have him number 30 in Central's final rankings of North American skaters. So he is a legitimate first round projection, stocky kid. He's hard on pucks. And you heard JF, he may have some of the best hands in the queue. He's good and tight, finishes well, a physical player. And he can play the power play and the penalty kill. So why wouldn't you want a player like that in your lineup that can play maybe middle six, you know, play special teams and play it fairly well? And he has that size, right, at 5'11", 196 pounds, and he'll just be getting bigger. So, you know, Leroux is one of those players I'm going to be really interested to see where he falls in this draft.
Yeah, he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to keep an eye on. And for me, it was Xavier Bourgault and Zachary Boldu. And you heard JF say those guys, you know, Bourgault's 13, Boldu's 17 in the rankings. He could envision those guys being flipped. That's how close they are talent wise. And, you know, if he's thinking that, NHL teams are going to think that, you know, you're talking two very talented top six forwards, both strong skaters, both really good shots, both really, you know, look like they're going to be standout NHL players. So those guys also are going to be interesting, you know, most likely going to go in the top 20 somewhere, but all it takes is one team to decide I like player A versus player B. And then that's how the draft falls out. And it might not be the way we expect it.
Yeah, no doubt. And but what we do expect is possibly all three of those players to go in the first round. And it what's interesting, Adam, is now we know what time the first round is going to take place on July 23rd. So ESPN2, of course, is going to carry that in the U.S. We're excited about that. It'll start at 8 o'clock. So, you know, that's when you get the popcorn ready, put on the hard hats and you go to work because there's a lot of digging, particularly in this draft. That's kind of somewhat unpredictable, right? Considering there were some leagues that canceled seasons, some leagues that were shortened. So it's going to be interesting how everything pans out.
Yeah, we got the first round on July 23rd. Rounds 2 through 7 on July 24th will be on NHL Network, Sportsnet in Canada, and Sportsnet Now. So, you know, we're getting closer. The table's getting set. You know, NHL Draft Class has all the information that you need as far as who your team might pick, not just in round one, round two, round three, as we go through the draft, because, you know, we have all the scouts on. We're talking to all the best minds from Central Scouting. We've already spoken to some of the top players. You can find out everything you need to know about this year's draft just by listening to NHL Draft Class. And it's free, right? You can't, you know, you can't set a better price than that. It's free. You can listen to it anytime. Leave a comment, leave a rating. Tell us what you think. We're available on Twitter. I'm at NHL Adam K. Mike's at Mike Morial NHL. So we're always available. And we will have more episodes of NHL Draft Class over the next 3 or 4 weeks as we get closer to the draft.
And what's also free, Adam, is the content on NHL.com. And on NHL.com, we are starting to roll out a lot of draft stories, a lot of coverage. You and I are working feverishly at that. Everything starts up July 1. As far as coverage goes, we'll be featuring players that were passed over in 2020 that could be drafted this year. That includes Josh Doan, who's high on my list. He was passed over last year. I think Josh is going to go somewhere in that second to fourth round range.
And if that Doan name sounds familiar, it should, because who's his dad, Mike?
That would be Shane Doan.
Yes, Shane Doan, former NHL star.
Yeah, so looking forward to that and seeing Josh possibly being drafted. But we'll also have major feature stories. Luke Hughes is going to be in the mix. We'll have a story, obviously, on Owen Power profiled. And Sasha Pastrsov from the United States Development Program in Plymouth, Michigan. Adam, one of our favorites here on Draft Classes when he was on earlier in the season. And he discussed, the story about mom and dad meeting at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. I know that was a favorite draft class of yours.
Absolutely. Yes. That, you know, like we want you to listen to all the previous shows, but if you just go back and find that show where we had Sasha on telling us stories about his parents meeting at the circus, like it's really, you know, we get to talk to a lot of these kids and a lot of these kids have really great stories. Once in a while, you hear about a kid whose parents met working at the circus, and that's all you want to talk about. So I saw your story. I'm going to, sneak peek a little bit behind the curtain, but yeah, it's a fun story. It's a fun read. And there's more interesting about Sasha than just, how his parents met, but it's really, again, everybody's parents meet differently. Not all of them meet at the circus.
Yeah. And he's also a heck of a hockey player, right?
He led
the NDTP in points this season. He led the United States at the U18 tournament. So, this is a special player. He's a special kid off the ice, has a real neat story. So you might want to check that out over the weekend, the 4th of July weekend here in the United States. So a lot more to come on Draft Class, as you mentioned, Adam, and plenty of content coming on NHL.com for sure.
Absolutely. So you've got some work to do, folks out there, for listening and for reading pleasure to learn about the 2021 draft. But as of right now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.